Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage. I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Someone's and watching you. Watching me. So here's a crazy, crazy situation. You're listening to the Savage Nation, and here's another crazy situation from the Savage Nation. No, we're not going to talk about existence and dying and death. Not today, anyway. We did that yesterday. We covered it. I mean, we resolved that problem. You're all set on that one. There's no need to talk about it again. I wake up this morning, and I see an emerging story that Donald Trump and all the Republicans and the FCC commissioner, who is a Republican conservative, support overturning privacy rules. I'm saying, wait a minute. Something doesn't make sense with this story. It seems to me that I'm on the side of Nancy Pelosi and the liberals. And that doesn't make sense to me either. Now, I don't even understand the story. The story is Trump's going to sign a bill, maybe today, allowing ISPs, the internet providers, like Comcast, Verizon, to sell your sensitive private information, including your browsing histories. It's under a House resolution passed Tuesday evening in a 215 to 205 vote. Don't go to sleep, please. How is it that this rule, which will allow ISPs to sell your browsing data to companies, would be supported by Republicans? They could even sell your porn habits to be sold. I mean, you want me to get very specific? The White House strongly supports a bill passed by both the House and Senate that would allow the internet service providers, ISPs, to sell an individual's internet browsing history without their consent. Without their consent. How is this even possible? Can anyone explain this to me? Because Nancy Pelosi and the libs are opposing it. Now, I oppose virtually everything they do, but it is well known that even a stopped clock is right twice a day. In this case, I think that the libs are correct. Why would conservatives and the FCC say that these regulations are too burdensome and need to be stopped to allow for free market competition? I've heard that before. You know, the words free market are supposed to trigger our knee-jerk reaction saying, oh, great, I'm all for it. But the Dems and liberals argue that these regulations, no matter the restrictions, are necessary to stop compiling and selling consumers' private info. All right, maybe it's too complicated. Some people will call on it. Well, here's good news, anyway. I read this morning that stylish dogs are ruling the catwalks of Shanghai streets, and that young Chinese in Shanghai, are showing off their pet dogs, dressing them up in eye-catching outfits. Pet owners like to dress up their pets the way they would their own children, said a woman surnamed Huang, as she walked to two fluffy brown poodles, one with a pink bow tie and the other wearing a blue one, through a central Shanghai neighborhood. Or rather, they walked her riding in a baby stroller as Huang pushed and his big business in China. So I said, this is the best news I've heard yet, because it means communism is dead in China. The only place it lives is amongst progressives and Bernie Sanders' ear in America. Communism is dead in China. Except a very small number of old-line people love communism. But this shows definitively that the Chinese are so great. $17 billion a year in pet clothing last year. Millennials are becoming the main customers, with their consumer power growing. This is fabulous. Zhang Wen, a psychologist at Shanghai's Wada Institute of Applied Psychology, said that for many Chinese, pet ownership is, quote, a kind of escape from interpersonal relationships. That's true. It said the pet becomes a projection of the opposite sex for some people who do not find a partner. Well, you could add something to that. I see a lot of big men in America. I mean big guys with little dogs. It used to be big guys had big dogs. Now big guys have little dogs. And it's the little guys who have the big dogs, which is very interesting to me. Why is it that the vermin in the streets called progressives, the rats who hide behind masks at riots, if they have dogs at all, they're usually pit bulls with chains around their necks. Have you figured that one out? Well, think about it. Anyway, this is very good news that stylish dogs are ruling the catwalks of Shanghai streets. It means communism is dead amongst the millennials. This is a great story. It tells us something. And now a little question for those. Oh, I have so many headlines today. Should I read you the headlines I picked up? Okay, I got the Trump likely to sign bill allowing ISPs to sell your browsing data. Not a call on that one. So let's go down the list of other stuff that I have. Pope peddles fake climate scare, attacks Trump and reason. My headline. Will Islam dominate the world in 40 years? I have the data. University hosts masculinity confession booth, instructing male students to repent and apologize for their masculinity. I will have more about the war on boys and what we must do about it. U.S. Department of Education indoctrinates students into Islam. This is a great story, how your government has been penetrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, and more specifically the Muslim Sisterhood. They're now using women to peddle Islamism under the guise of religious freedom. And we're going to compare and contrast Christianity with Islam and tell you the danger we are in if we do not stop this. And then there's another story, if that's not enough for you. If your heart's not beating yet, and your hand's not pressing buttons yet, here's another one for you. Now, this is a very sensitive one. I read this morning in the Washington Post that a Holocaust survivor went in front of an audience on immigration and attacked a sheriff, Scott Jones, for rounding up illegal aliens and deporting them if they were on watch lists. So the Holocaust survivor, a genuine one, a real one, stood up and said, "You stand there, Mr. Jones, don't forget, history is not on your side. You shouldn't be deporting families and loved ones." And he gives his horribly heartbreaking story of his time in Poland when the Nazis came and rounded him up and his parents. And I said to myself, how does the Holocaust experience differ from today's deportations in the U.S.? It's a very delicate issue because I don't want to be thrown into the group that says the Holocaust didn't exist. Of course it existed. 6 million Jews were mercilessly killed by the Nazis, as were 9 million non-Jews, by the way. And again, it's a fact of reality written by a great Jewish historian. So a lot of people were killed during the Holocaust, and they included Jews, 6 million Jews, and let's never forget that. But there's a huge difference in what was done in Poland and Germany and Hungary and Bulgaria and all the countries of Europe by the Nazis in rounding up Jews and what Trump is doing in rounding up illegal aliens who have committed crimes. They're not the same thing. And here is the problem, and it's a very heartbreaking thing for me to have to say, and I hope you interpret this correctly, because I will defend my statement. People who lived through the Holocaust were so severely psychologically damaged by it that they see the entire world through the lens of the Holocaust. And so every time they hear about immigration, right away they assign that to the historical experience that they lived through, and they think that the Mexicans, El Salvadorans, Nicaraguans, even gang members, are like the Jews in Poland in the 1930s. And so in their speaking out against Donald Trump's desire to crack down on illegal aliens, they're not doing themselves or us a favor. They're not doing us a service at all. And that's my opinion. And that is the opening to the show. And that's a lot of topics. And I'm Michael Savage. If you care to comment on any of these topics, it means your mind is alert. You don't have a disease where you can't think. You're not narcotized. You're just a thinking person, and it's worth talking about these topics. If not, I can do it without you. But I invite you to call. It is a talk show. I'm not NPR. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. Topics are all over the map. Do you agree with Trump or the Democrats about selling your private info? War against boys, your personal experiences. How does the Holocaust experience differ from today's deportations? There's more coming. I'm firing today. I'm firing it all at you because tomorrow is my birthday and it's a very big day and it's a confluence of a lot of energy. This birthday will never come back, so I'm doing the best I can for this day and around this day. I have some special people flying in to be with me who I'll not mention. I'll protect their anonymity. but they're going to be with me on a certain party night, and it's going to be filmed. When that film, that documentary being done on me, will ever be released, I don't know. We have about 30 hard minutes from a real high-end Hollywood team. These are the top cameramen in Hollywood right now, the number one and two. I know you say, who are they? Come on, you just say, no, they happen to be friends of mine. And they've done 30 minutes of me sitting in a chair at one of my houses talking about my childhood so far. So then they're going to do the party of me just reflecting. I don't know what I'm going to say really there at all. I don't know. I wish Art Blakey would be there with me, but he isn't. I think Art Blakey's in heaven right now. So I now want to do something that you may not understand. I'm going to ask you a question. What I'm about to read to you are a list of things that were done by two presidents. And I'm going to ask you, who did them, Ronald Reagan or Barry Obama? Who did the following, Reagan or Obama? Nominated and appointed Eric Holder as judge. Doubled California state spending. Record California tax hike. Passed California abortion rights. Promised to abolish the Department of Education, but didn't. Promised to abolish the Department of Energy, but didn't. Doubled unconstitutional farm programs. Doubled unconstitutional Medicare. Passed unconstitutional drought relief. Doubled unconstitutional foreign aid. Didn't abolish one single unconstitutional federal agency, department, or program. Supported the unconstitutional Brady Bill. Who was this, Reagan or Obama? Who passed a bill forcing hospitals to treat illegal aliens in California? Who passed the unconstitutional war on drugs? Who increased government, tripling the national debt? Who raised the national debt from $930 billion to $2.6 trillion? Who passed a 5 cent per gallon gasoline tax? Who passed an FHA reverse mortgage bill? Was it Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama? Will Donald Trump become another Reagan or another Schwarzenegger or worse yet, another Obama? When I see all these Democrats going into high places in the inner circle, I say, uh-oh, here we have it again, here we go again, there we go again. Remember when Schwarzenegger came to power, how great we thought it would be? And then we woke up and found out that he hired Jerry Brown's chief of staff to run his California state government. And the next thing we knew, Schwarzenegger had morphed into a leftist creature. Do you remember that? Are you hearing me? Does anyone out there hear me? It's not what you see, it's what you get that matters. Which is why I, Michael Savage, wrote Trump's War, to make sure you know what it is you voted for, and to try our best, and my best, and your best, to make sure that the president understands that we're not all dummies, and we know what we voted for. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, here we are talking about the CIA, the NSA, and top intelligence agencies. All of our sensitive secrets can be hacked. We now know that safety and privacy of our finances are over. I mean, how safe and private do you think your finances are sitting in the cyber world? Who hacked them? How about your stock accounts, your saving accounts, even your 401ks? Frankly, that's why I turned to Swiss America for answers about protecting the Savage household finances and privacy. One book explained it all. Don't bank on it. And for a limited time, the first 500 callers can get a free copy. Only 500 of you are going to get it. What timing this is. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. It's a free book on exactly the topic we're talking about. And you'll learn how to protect your money against what even the CIA cannot protect. Please do it now. It's free. It's a book. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. For a free copy of the book, don't bank on it. Attention, this message is for everyone suffering from back pain. If you're driving in your car right now, I'm sure every bump, every little crack you run over feels like a giant speed bump, sending shooting pain through your back, pain you'll be feeling all day. Back pain that makes a 30-minute commute feel like a punishing 2-hour drive. Well, here's some good news. If you're by a CVS or Walgreens, pull in right now. You heard me. walk back to the pain relief aisle and get Australian Dream Back Pain Cream. It's in a purple box. Australian Dream is real effective medicine that really works. Rub it in where it hurts. Give yourself some relief. Try Australian Dream Back Pain Cream, backed by the empty jar guarantee. Use the entire jar if it doesn't relieve your back pain. I want you to send back the empty jar for a full refund. Pull into the nearest CVS or Walgreens. Get Australian Dream Back Pain Cream now, in the purple box, or visit AustralianDream.com. Do you agree with Trump or the Democrats about selling your private info? War against boys. How does the Holocaust experience differ from today's deportations? And so many other topics that I touched on that it's very hard for me to summarize them. So let's take some calls. It's that simple. Lots of topics. WSBA, Jamie, line two. What's your topic? What's your comment?
I do agree with the law that Trump's signing to repeal the internet privacy laws that actually haven't even taken effect yet.
Well, wait a minute. But that would let them sell our data to advertising executives.
What does everyone think is happening with our data now when we log into Twitter and we use Facebook and we use Netflix and all of these other online apps that we have on our phones and our tablets we keep with us constantly? What does everyone think is happening with our data already?
So, no, but you want to give them absolute liberty to sell our data when they don't have it right now?
Dr. Savage, we've already given them absolute liberty to sell it, and they do have it right now.
No, they don't have it right now, because these privacy regulations are supposed to protect us. I think the right answer here would be for Trump to pass a law making sure that they do protect us.
I think that the internet service providers actually should have the same rights that all of the other providers have, like Netflix and Google, and I mean, those companies are not protecting our data. Read your privacy policies when you sign up for these.
That is correct. So they should be added to the list of those who cannot sell our privacy data. Here's what's happening. Google and Facebook are not regulated by the FCC. They should be regulated by the FCC. That's the problem here, because the telecom providers who are trying to pass this law with Trump are arguing that the rules put them at a competitive disadvantage to Google and Facebook. So that doesn't mean that we should allow Google and Facebook to run roughshod over our privacy, does it?
No, it absolutely does not. The problem is not just our internet service providers. It's much bigger than that. You are absolutely correct.
But, all right, so the bigger question is, how did we get into this conundrum where we're now agreeing with Nancy Pelosi and the liberals and Trump should not sign this law? Number one, what he should be doing is expanding the law to restrict the sale of our data to companies such as Google and Facebook. In that regard, I agree with the left wing here.
I am with you. I understand what you're saying, and we've given up our privacy the moment we logged into whatever we log into every day. I mean,
Congress just voted Tuesday night to let internet providers sell our browsing history. I totally disagree with that. I don't want my browsing history sold. It is illegal to sell my browsing history right now. Why would I let them do that without my permission?
We shouldn't let them do that. We shouldn't let any of them do that.
Okay, so listen, what we're doing is we're agreeing with each other, but we're also understanding that our privacy has already been stolen by Facebook and Google, two of the most dangerous companies in the history of America, who are we're not seeing any signs from Trump of reining them in or taxing them. That's number one. I'm sending you Trump's war because I actually discussed this in great detail in an entire section. You must have Trump's war. Please, please read it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, Dr. Michael Savage back with you. Let's talk for a moment about blood flow, just for a minute. We all know that healthy circulation is critical, especially as we get older. There's a natural way to support healthy blood flow, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body, which convert into nitric oxide. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates, one scoop in water or a smoothie, and you're all set. This is the secret to helping support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. Super Beets works three times faster to give you results you can feel. Plus, it tastes great. You see, it's all about blood flow. I happen to take Super Beets every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes. So call 800-481-0504. Write it down. That's 800-481-0504. Or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order. It is backed by a money-back guarantee. You're also going to get a free book called Beat the Odds and free shipping on your entire order. And listen, you love the results you feel with your first free canister, guaranteed or you get your money back. Okay? 800-481-0504. Disco, anyone? Somebody watching me? Look, it could come down. It's a Schwarzenegger, you know, redo here. That it started out as a muscle Republican conservative. The next thing we knew, the radical left invaded the inner circle, and that was the end of it. And Schwarzenegger became a patsy. That's all. An empty suit. A steroid, empty, steroid-driven empty suit. It looked like a muscle man, but was really a bowl of Jell-O inside. I hope not. I hope not. WABC, New York City, first caller. Jay Line 8, what's your question or comment, please?
Hey, Mr. Savage, I just want to start off by saying I really enjoy your show. You hit it right on the nail. As a total independent, I'm neither Democrat or Republican, I want to thank you. Well, anyway, my comment to you
is... That means you're setting me up for an attack, but thank you. I see it coming. You buttered me up now for the rope-a-dope, so go on.
Okay, so the lady that just called, when she first called, she said she totally agreed with the federal government allowing legislation that our personal information was to be sold. And then when you explained it a little bit more to her, she started agreeing with you. I totally agree with our personal information being sold to private companies. This is a total invasion of our privacy.
Wait, hold on. You totally agree with it or disagree with it?
Well, I disagree with it.
Okay, but I know you. I'm just trying to clear up what you're saying. So you agree with me that Trump is wrong in signing this bill if he agrees with it?
Oh, yes. I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
All right, so we agree on that. So what are you calling about?
But this leads me to my next point. No matter what Donald Trump says or does, his followers are extremely loyal. He could be dead wrong about an issue. Like, you and I both know he's wrong about this issue with allowing companies to sell our private information from what we type in our keyboard. He's wrong. However, his followers, no matter how bad it may be for the followers, are going to agree with him. And that brings two parts to the question, too, Mr. Savage.
All right, wait. Okay, so I understand that, but you're saying that they'll follow him no matter what he says or does. Wasn't that true with Obama as well?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so what's your concern? So, all right, so what are you saying now? What's your main concern?
So my main concern is Donald Trump is a big businessman. He has a lot of friends in Wall Street. He has a lot of friends in high places. My main concern is he's not really worried about the regular working class people like you and I, Mr. Savage.
Well, I'm not working. Let's be clear. I'm not working class. I have been. I struggled. I struggle every day to do a great show, but I wouldn't call myself working class. I mean, I can't say that as an elite member of the media, which everyone in talk radio is who you listen to, no matter what they may tell you. We're not Eddies and Edettes. Maybe some of us came from that background, as I did. Maybe some of us didn't, but the fact is that it's very hard to put on the big act that we're still struggling when we're not. But the issue is, I never forgot my origins. I never forgot my roots. I never forgot what it's like to struggle. But the issue is, I'm not a follower of any politician, no matter what they do. I may be a supporter when they're running, but hey, once they start going off track, I got to be an outside constructive critic.
Yes. Yes, you know, as a working class.
And Jay, that means no more desserts, I think, in Mar-a-Lago. I suspect there will be no longer any large dishes of vanilla ice cream and chocolate syrup. I could be wrong.
No, I understand. I totally understand.
But you have a good sense of humor, Jay. I'm sending you Trump's war. Now, look, here's the thing. I suspect that there's going to be a huge turnaround inside the Trump camp, as we're seeing right now, that's ongoing. There are going to be people fired. There was one today. There may be some big ones tomorrow. And I believe that he will be moving to the left. When I see that his lovely, intelligent daughter has been moved into the White House, and she does come from a liberal background, and there's no point in mincing words. Everyone knows the truth about this. The son-in-law, these were big New York liberals. They probably still are. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but they don't agree with my politics, nor I with them. Now, they're going to move the president toward the left. They're going to try and soften him. They're going to try and make him more malleable. And as a result, he's going to alienate the core base. For example, he just attacked the Freedom Caucus last night. He tweeted against them today. Isn't that correct, Robert? Now, how could you attack a core group that supported you when you're running for office? How is that even possible? You can't do that. It's a mistake to do that. You can't go after the people who put you in power soon after you become the president without losing a core supporter group. How are you going to run again? Does he care about running again? I don't know. I'm not inside his head. Who's advising him to attack the Freedom Caucus? Who's advising him to let internet providers sell our private data? Well, these are emerging questions for which I don't have the answer. But I hope that when this tape or a transcript of this particular tape of mine gets to Mr. President, if it does, and I don't know how much of this ever gets to him, I suspect some of it does. I've been told it does. He understands that without constructive critics like Michael Savage, someone who's been loyal to him from the get-go, things are not going to look very good for him as the years emerge. He cannot continue to just appeal to the Democrats and hope to retain a large loyal following. It won't happen, because Democrats will never, ever support him. They'll only use him so far as they need him to advance their own agenda, okay? So that's that. I hope that he understands that I would like another dose of ice cream and chocolate syrup at some time in the future. And if not, is not. I don't eat ice cream and syrup anyway. I haven't eaten it for years. I grew up on it, but if maybe... What if you wake up one day and you see that Macho Rad Cow is having dessert with the president? That would be the last straw for me. If I see Macho Rad Cow having a big, big spoonful of chocolate syrup and ice cream, that's the end of the road for me. That's it. That would be the last straw. But it could happen. You never know what might happen tomorrow. Here's another couple of stories if you're not agitated enough. After letting kids get sex change surgery at 15, Oregon Rad Dems try to raise smoking age to 21. Can you believe how sick they are? Do you know how sick the radical Dems really are? Here's another one. So-called Catholic University hosts radical communist Angela Davis as distinguished lecturer. Now, she was there when they killed guards at San Quentin. She is one of the most evil people on the planet, in my estimation. She should have been given a death sentence for what she did. Marquette, a Catholic university, hosts radical communist Angela Davis as distinguished lecturer. Now, you have to understand that Jesuit schools are not the same as Catholic schools. Jesuit schools are some of the most radical indoctrination centers in the country. They push progressive views of social justice as unimpeachable Catholic doctrine when it's not. Catholic doctrine is not that of the Jesuits. The Jesuits have always been far left, almost communistic, if not outright communist. Look at Jerry Brown, a Jesuit. When they push their view of Catholicism, and they bring a woman like Angela Davis, who was known for her career with the Black Panther Party and Communist Party, a woman who proclaims to this day that capitalism is the most dangerous kind of future we can imagine. When a woman like this, who tells the LA Times that as long as we inhabit a capitalist democracy, a future of racial equality, gender inequality, economic equality will elude us, she is one of the most notoriously dangerous women on the planet. She landed on the FBI's 10 most wanted list in 1970. for running away from police after she was charged with purchasing the murder weapon that was used in a courtroom in San Rafael, California in 1970. At the Women's March in January, this radical, this dangerous woman, Angela Davis, called on activists to become more militant. She said those who still defend the supremacy of white male hetero patriarchy had better watch out. She is a terrorist. And yet Marquette University is touting her as a living witness to history. And this anti-capitalist liar is earning between $10,000 and $20,000 for screeching against capitalism. Do you understand the hypocrisy and the lies of the left? And how dangerous they truly are? No matter how old they get, they're still dangerous. To the last dying breath that they breathe on this planet, they would like to, let us say, destroy heterosexual white Christian males. And that brings us back to the first topic of the day. The war on boys that is being conducted by evil people like this woman. Radical feminists have almost destroyed the West. It is the radical feminists who went after the white heterosexual Christian male from the get-go for reasons you can well understand. Once you understand who radical femmes really are, you'll understand why they are the gravest threat to the survival of the West. And what's even more ironic and psychotic, ironic and psychotic, by the way, I'll mute the two words together in a moment. If you merge ironic and psychotic together, what do you get? Well, you get Angela Davis, a mad cow. But that's not a joke. They are the ones who conducted a war against masculinity in men and are now conducting a war against young boys on an almost institutional basis. They took over the schools, took over the universities. They're running the media behind the scenes. And now we see that they want to do the final thing in their war on boys. And I have a wonderful, wonderful couple of sounds for you on the attack on boys from one of my favorite authors, which is the American Enterprise Institute scholar Christina Hoff Sommers, who I had on the show many, many years ago, many times. And she talks about how contemporary schools are attacking men. And I want to just introduce it with clip number three, Robert, in The War on Boys. Listen to this.
Being a normal boy is a serious liability in today's classroom. Boys tend to be disorganized and restless. Some have even been known to be noisy and hard to manage. Sound like any boy you know? But increasingly, our schools have little patience for what only a couple of decades ago would have been described as boyishness. As psychologist Michael Thompson has aptly observed, girls' behavior is the gold standard in schools. Boys are treated like defective girls.
Oh, wow.
Now, as a result, these defective girls are not faring well academically. Compared with girls, boys earn lower grades, they win fewer honors, they're far less likely to go to college. Boys are languishing academically while girls are prospering. In an ever more knowledge-based economy, this is not a recipe for a successful society.
Right,
we need to start thinking about how we can make our grade school classrooms more boy-friendly.
Well, we can begin by calling out the radical feminist haters who are running the schools. Let's start with that. And standing up to the radical feminist haters who intimidate every parent who stands up to them. We can go and get in their faces the way they've gotten in our faces. That's a good start. I did it my entire life when my children were in school. I encountered these evil Nazis my whole life. And they always disguised themselves as oppressed minorities who were somehow feminists, suddenly trumped humanity. Oh, it's a battle on every front. And here's the real irony of it. They're embracing Islam while rejecting Christianity. Now, why would radical feminists want more Islam and less Christianity when Christianity is a more accepting, tolerant religion than any on earth? Why is it that they embrace a religion that would throw them down a well? Well, there's only one answer to that. Liberalism is a mental disorder. One day you'll come to understand that's my greatest line next to borders, language, and culture. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. Boy, do we have topics that are flying around in the Savage Nation. But before we get back to them, I got to ask you something. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, I know, horrible thought. Do you look at your eyes and say, I wish this bag under my eye would just go away? Well, it won't go away because bags and puffiness under the eyes, well, they're a problem for millions of Americans, men and women alike, unless you use Genucel. It is the plant stem cell treatment from Chamonix. Then, ladies and gentlemen, poof go the bags and puffiness. Listen to Susan from New Jersey who wrote, I've been using Genucel for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have started to disappear, and they've not come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Not only Susan, people, I know a lot of people who use it, and they love it. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours. You hear that? 12 hours, or you get your money back. I can guarantee that. Now call, and you'll save big on Genucel's spring clearance event. Order Genucel now and get a free month supply with your order. All you have to do is call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's more.
There's another time.
When the world seems
boys emulated
like
men. The singers were all men. The singers were men like Dean Martin. And boys wanted to be like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. Then all of a sudden, who knows? Play the song just for a minute. And boys wanted to be soldiers, they wanted to be cops, they wanted to be outdoors, they wanted to be tough, they wanted to be able to defend themselves. And we wake up and all of a sudden every one of these true values are being attacked by the psychotics who run the schools, run the media. Take a look at the men in the media, now look at them. By and large, look at the image they project. Is that an image that you think is reflective of most men on the planet? Are they therefore superior to most men on the planet because they portray a different side of masculinity, if you want to even go there? What is the norm in men's behavior? What should I didn't say become a Neanderthal and beat people up. I didn't say that. But we need men who can beat people up. Make no mistake about it. We need a lot of men who can beat people up to save this nation. Make no mistake about it. Without men who can beat people up, you wouldn't even be here. There'd be no country. From the beginning, there'd be no country. So when you conduct a war against boys, what you're doing is conducting a war against survival. Straight up, that's it. Now, that leads to another story, even though we're going to talk about the war against boys in this country. Which, by the way, ties into the war against Trump. If you were to dissect what the war against Trump really is, the psychosis and the hatred, you'll see it comes from a very small minority within even the Democrat community, within even the liberal community. The fanatics are by and large the same fanatics who have a war against boys, a war against Christians, a war against America. They are the hardcore left-wing fanatics who control the blogs, who control the media, who control the messaging. Wherever you turn, there they are. They're the ones writing it. They're the ones projecting it. Now, that ties into another story. I don't know if it's that important to you. But I saw the other day that the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel are protesting against Israeli military service in Israel. I said, wow, this is a great story. Here are Jews in Israel, a certain sect of Jews, the ones with the curls and the black hats, and they're a different sect than the Lubavitch. They're a sect that doesn't even believe Israel should exist. So they're screaming, it's better to be shot than to go in the army. One of them said with a long, dark beard. Protest against military service, which is 2 years and 8 months for men and 2 years for women in Israel, is compulsory for most Jewish Israelis, but not for the ultra-Orthodox Jews who represent now 10% of the Israeli population and live in strict compliance with strict interpretation of Jewish laws. So why are they opposed to military service? What sense does that make? If it wasn't for the Israeli military, they would have been thrown into an oven. If it wasn't for the military in Israel, they wouldn't even exist. So this is another example of how when people become so fanatical in their beliefs, whether the beliefs be religious in nature or political in nature, they become crazy. They don't even think what they're doing. So the average Israeli hates them for this, to be very honest. Why should they be exempt, they say, to go study in religious schools? It's very controversial. But the rabbis who run them are very hostile to any cooperation with the Israeli authorities and refuse and are considered they oppose the Israeli authorities. Last month, there were major protests in ultra-Orthodox areas across Israel with more than 30 people arrested. Now, there's more to the story because the ultra-Orthodox religious in Israel are not loved by most Israelis. Most Israelis, by the way, are very secular. They're not even religious, in case you don't know it. They could care less about religion. I don't know if you know that as well. Go to Israel and see what goes on a Saturday outside of very religious districts. In fact, the religious fanatics throw rocks at the non-religious in a certain area of Jerusalem called Mea Shearim, I believe, if I still remember correctly. And, okay, that's what they want to do, and they're protected by the state. Maybe you can understand it, maybe not. They want their ancient laws protected. I can see that. But when it comes to national defense in a nation that's surrounded by hostiles, why should religious Jews not be required to go into the military? Well, the answer is they're no longer exempt. A law was passed making them serve like everybody else, so they went crazy. And then they're dressed in their dark suits, and they scream, "The state of Israel persecutes Jews." This is unbelievable. So that's another story that shows you how far a nation could fall if they're allowed to be pulled into the realm of extremism, whether the extremism be, in this case, ultra-Orthodox religious Judaism or ultra-Orthodox religious fanaticism of the kind that Bernie Sanders and the radical feminists and Hillary Clinton espouse. Yes, I put them all in the same category. That's all. Now, just one topic. There are so many others. I have a lot of energy to call, you know, to discuss them. Another one that's related is the takeover of our schools by Islamic indoctrinators. This is such a big story that I think I should touch on it. I have two chapters in Trump's war about how you have to fight back against the indoctrination in our schools by radical feminists and radical Islamists, because they're basically one and the same. I have to find the story, though, and I will. I will find it, I promise you. Here it is. Subject, regarding U.S. Department of Education indoctrinating students into Islam. Everywhere you turn, you see them teaching students about Islam. And the Christian Action Network, God bless them, are trying to stop the U.S. Department of Education from doing this in our schools. There are lesson plans for grades 7 through 5 through 12 with worksheets and videos to help American students perform the five pillars of Islam, not the five pillars of Christianity, not the five pillars of Judaism or of Buddhism or of Hinduism, but only of one religion. Why are they pushing Islam in our schools? Do you know why? The taxpayer-supported Department of Education should be closed down by Donald Trump. This indoctrination is an example, one example, of how dangerous are the individuals in the Department of Ed, which should be closed down immediately and just shut the doors on it. Someone wrote me this. The email said, "Christianity is a religion of freedom and respect today, while Islam is a religion of oppression and punishment. Christianity teaches Christians to forgive and encourage themselves and each other. Islam teaches Muslims to oppress and punish themselves and each other. If you were setting up a new world order," they write, "which one would you want the masses of little people to adopt, Christianity or Islam?" They go on, and they write, "Islam has the potential to become the most pervasive and powerful system of control the world has ever seen for three strong reasons. First, its foundation is of oppression and punishment for disobedience, so it's like a police state in a way. Second, Islam isn't rejected as an outside enemy like police-type systems are, because as a religion, the people are able to embrace it as a cultural value, which brings meaning to their lives. Third, Islam can operate in every micro and macro level of society, making little children, as well as adults, into little policers and enforcers. It's a brilliant design. And they conclude by saying, what better way to make sure the global society remains under tight control with as little resources and effort as possible on the part of those in power? And now you know why. Now you know why the Department of Education is indoctrinating our students into the wonders of Islam in grades 5 through 12 while putting Christianity and the other religions on the shelf. And why, really, you should support the Christian Action Network in demanding that the Department of Ed remove the Islamic indoctrination program. So I got some data sent to me by another listener on will Islam dominate the world in 20 or 40 years. And they broke down the number of faiths, the people in each faith around the world. Right now, Christianity is the dominant faith in the world now at 32.5%. Islam is at 21.5%. Hinduism, 14%. Judaism is only 0.2%. Sikhism is only 0.4%. Is it 4.4? Buddhism is only 6%. You'd have people in Marin County would have you believe that 60% of the world are Buddhists, that all Chinese are Buddhists, but they're not. In America, it's mainly housewives in Marin who have eschewed their Christianity and Judaism because they like to sit in the lotus position and bow and put their hands together when they're given a glass of water and a napkin in a Japanese restaurant, most of whom are not even Buddhists. But in all seriousness, Christianity 32%, Islam 21%, Hinduism 14%, Judaism 0.2%, Sikhism 0.4%, slivers, Buddhism 6%, Chinese religions only make up 6%, primal faith 6%, but there's a huge block of non-religious at 16%. So the person sends me the thing and she says, if only the non-religious are converted to Islam, Islam becomes majority or close to it almost immediately. And now you know the rest of the story. Now you know why the so-called communist progressives are in favor of Islam dominating and why they hate Christianity. They believe there will be a single world that they will run if everyone is indoctrinated into a single world religion filled with basic sheeple who do exactly what they're told to do. Very big story. I know we can't solve that problem on a radio show. There's nothing we can do right now, but we can talk about it. Okay, so that's another topic. Net neutrality is the first topic of the day, and we never knew what that was. But now we know what it is. Now we got people in America who are saying that by deporting dangerous criminals in America who are illegal aliens, we are doing what the Nazis did to the Jews during the Holocaust. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Absolutely nothing can be farther from the truth. There's a saying that was written by Blake, the great poet, the eye that alters, alters all. And those who were traumatized by the Holocaust, and severely traumatized by the Holocaust, for good reason traumatized, who see the entire world through the lens of the Holocaust, are not doing themselves or anyone else a favor. Because without firm borders, there is no nation. I should say without firm borders, there is no firm nation. There's no defined nation. There's no identity. If there's no identity, if a nation has no identity, there is no nation. Do you understand that? Listen to how important the saying borders, language, and culture is. It's the same with boys. If a boy has no identity as a boy, he can never become a man. If a nation has no identity as a nation with firm borders, language, and culture, it ceases to exist as a nation. Which is why the radical progressives in the media, like Andy Cooper, like Wolfie Blitzer, that's who they are. They're mouthpieces for the radicals. We know that. They may look like us, talk like us, walk like us, but they're not us. They're nothing but dangerous mouthpieces in my estimation, which is why everyone hates them. They have no following. The reason they have a following is because they have a network behind them. But frankly, the people don't want this happening to this country. They didn't want it happening in England, which is why Brexit won, why Trump won. The basic population of the nation wants borders, wants language, wants the culture, and wants a firm identity for their nation that they love so much, that their ancestors loved so much. That's what they want. They want a firm identity. They don't want America to disappear because of open borders and a polyglot of languages. and zero culture other than pornography and bad music. Am I clear enough for you? Are you hearing me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm Michael Savage. I wrote Trump's War. Can you hear me now?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, here we are talking about the CIA, the NSA, and top intelligence agencies. All of our sensitive secrets can be hacked. We now know that safety and privacy of our finances are over. I mean, how safe and private do you think your finances are sitting in the cyber world? Who hacked them? How about your stock accounts, your saving accounts, even your 401ks? Frankly, that's why I turned to Swiss America for answers about protecting the Savage household finances and privacy. One book explained it all. Don't bank on it. And for a limited time, the first 500 callers can get a free copy. Only 500 of you are going to get it. What timing this is. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. It's a free book on exactly the topic we're talking about. And you'll learn how to protect your money against what even the CIA cannot protect. Please do it now. It's free. It's a book. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. For a free copy of the book, don't bank on it. My friends at MyPillow always have great deals. For a limited time, call 800-768-0898 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code SAVAGE, and you get Mike's four-pack special. You'll get 40% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Buy now, and MyPillow will also extend their New Year money-back guarantee through April 1st, 2017. You can have the pillow for months, and if you aren't happy, you can return it for a full guarantee. I've had MyPillow for over a year, and since I've had their ultra-thin pillow, I've never slept better. I've always had the hardest time finding the perfect pillow until I ordered my pillow. They sent me exactly what I needed and I couldn't be happier. Don't lose out on these incredible offers. Now through the end of March, MyPillow is offering Mike's four-pack special. You'll get 40% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. So go online to MyPillow.com, code SAVAGE for this incredible offer. Or call 800-768-0898. That's 800-768-0898 for my Mike's four-pack special. MyPillow, made in the USA, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. I think of all the topics that yours truly, I, Michael Savage, have talked about today, the one that really affects you, like, immediately is the privacy rules issue. I mean, it does affect all of us. Everyone who's listening to the show is on the internet. Tuesday night, a bill is passed in the House to basically sell off the privacy, our, in other words, what we search for. And how in the world can this be good for us? How can we support overturning the Obama-era privacy rules? And this is an interesting conundrum for many of us, because we are now agreeing with the Dems and liberals. Because these regulations will stop and do stop the sale of our private info to ad agencies. It's a huge story. So here's a man I've never agreed with, Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, on this issue. Let's hear.
Killing these FCC privacy rules through our CRA would create an unregulated Wild West where captive consumers would have no defense against abusive invasions of their privacy by their ISP. The rules are on the books. The broadband providers don't like it. They've always fought it. They are definitely in a situation where they think they can finally escape having to have robust privacy protections in place. The headlines every day warn us of what can happen with smart TVs, with smart devices, with the broadband revolution makes possible in terms of the compromise of the information of innocent Americans.
I agree with him. Why should we disagree with Markey when he's right? And tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me, can someone explain to me why I'm wrong on this? Donald Trump says he may sign the bill right off the bat. I don't understand why you would support that. And it's a little complicated. I understand that. You have to actually think about that. I don't know whether you're a Democrat or liberal or conservative or whatever. How can you want to go along with the Republicans and Democrats who just voted to let internet providers sell your browsing history? This includes, by the way, this new regulation rollback that the Republicans pushed will allow providers to create marketing profiles based on the browsing history of their users, but also will let them deploy undetectable tools that track your web traffic. Can you believe this? Timothy Lee writes, "We are one vote away from a world where your ISP can track your every move online and sell that information to the highest bidder." That's of the a person from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a group that advocates for online privacy rights. Now, I usually don't agree with these people, but they're right. How is it that I'm agreeing now with leftist groups on this issue? Moreover, how can you conservatives want your privacy data shared? Explain it to me. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me where my logic fails me, if you don't mind.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I wish this bag under my eye would just go away. Well, if that sounds like you every morning, I'm sorry you're not alone. You see, bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women, unless you use GenuCell, the plant stem cell treatment from Chamonix. Then, ladies and gentlemen, the bags and puffiness will go away. Susan from New Jersey wrote this, "I've been using GenuCell for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes, it's gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids." Not only Susan, folks. I use it, and I love it. GenuCell really works. With its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours, or you get your money back. I guarantee it. Call now and you'll save big on GenuCell's spring clearance event. Order GenuCell now and get a free month supply with your order. So call 800-SKIN-891. Call 800-SKIN-891. Call right now and shipping is also free. Call 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891.
Principles that we need to embrace are twofold. Number one, as a general matter, but especially in this context, we need to make sure that there's a level playing field in terms of anyone who's competing in the online space. And number two, the consumers have a uniform expectation of privacy. When they go online, they shouldn't have to be lawyers or engineers or technologists to figure out the regulatory classification of the entity that's holding their sensitive information. And so our goal is, obviously, to vindicate that consumer preference by applying an even regulatory set of requirements to everybody.
Right, so this is so complicated that no one understands it. This is such a complicated thing that is going on that even when FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, who is a conservative for sure, wants to get rid of these restrictions to let internet providers sell your browsing history, we don't know whether to agree with him or not. It's so complicated. Can anyone explain it to the audience right now? Or do you want to talk about how Islam is being indoctrinated, our children are being indoctrinated into Islam in our schools? Let's go to an individual named Orlean on KSFO in my home city of San Francisco. Orlean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael. I'm so glad you brought up this subject. I had to teach Islam in the seventh grade for a two-week unit when I was a substitute teacher, and I was just shocked by what I was asked to have these students do. I was supposed to have them come dressed like Muslims, take a Muslim name, memorize.
What, you as a teacher had to dress like a Muslim in a school?
Yes. And they were.
Where? Which school was this?
This was Hillsburg Junior High in Sonoma County. But it was.
Oh, Sonoma is a cauldron of insanity.
But it's going on across.
Sonoma is one of the worst, most indoctrinated counties in all of California. A lot of the mad people ran out of San Francisco and bought cheap places up there 15, 20 years ago. There are whole clavens of them up there in Sonoma County. And they run the schools as though they're private enterprises of their own. And they indoctrinate the children in some of the most despicable manner you could imagine. Now, I would have nothing against teaching about Islam from the point of view of an historical point of view if you did the same about Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. But that's not what they're doing, is it?
But this is a textbook that was being used all over the state, so it just wasn't in Hillsburg. And what I ended up doing, I was supposed to have them memorize scripture from the Quran, memorize the five pillars. I did not do any of that, but I did have the five pillars. I had to have them memorized because that was on the final test. But I gave them a copy of the Ten Commandments with memorized the five pillars and had them compare notes. So they got really a biblical teaching in this 2 weeks, much more.
And what happened when you added the Ten Commandments? Did any of the members of the Klavan come in and punish you?
No, nobody even came into my classroom whatsoever.
Well, good for you for being such a strong woman. You're the Betsy Ross of your area. Well, I'm going to give you the gift. I have only one gift to give you, which is my great book, Trump's War. I'm sure you're going to love it. There's a whole chapter on freedom of religion in there that applies so directly to this situation. And I want to repeat so I'm not misunderstood on this show. I have no problem with teaching the history of Islam or even the tenets of Islam, if you can do the same about the history of Christianity and the tenets of Christianity and the evolution of Christianity in particular, the Reformation, most specifically, not go back over and over again to the Crusades. Because if you want to talk about the Crusades of the Christians, you have to first begin with the First Crusade, which was the Muslim invasion of Christian lands and the attempt to kill and convert Christians. And what you don't know, because you probably went to a school in America, is that when you hear about the Christian Crusades, you think that they initiated it, but history does not support that. They were defending their own lands against the invasion. Does that sound familiar to you right now? Because we're living through a crusade in this nation and in the West. And Donald Trump's arrival on the scene has a lot to do with this invasion. You have to understand that one of the chief things he said he would do was build that wall. That has nothing to do with the crusade of the invasion of another religion. But he said specifically many times he would ban Muslim immigrants until we understood or got to the bottom, I think he said, of those who were here already. Now, that was controversial in one way, but not controversial in another. What is so controversial about looking into people from countries where there are a large number of fanatical terrorists? Why would you want to bring more of them into a country unless you're insane? Or you're such a liberal, you say, oh, it's impolite to even bring it up. Well, I think you have to put your survival instincts above your, let us say, social instincts in this regard, if you want to put it in those terms. Okay, so I think we've covered that one. Now we can go on to the others. And the ISP bill, I don't think we understand that well. But this was Obama's law. Why is Trump overturning it? Maybe Sam on KSFO could explain it. Sam, line 4, go ahead, please.
Hey, buddy. I love your show. Just wanted to say that. But the thing is that the truth about it is Obama actually, back in October, moved the government a firm foothold in completely regulating the internet by giving FCC control of it instead of the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, like it normally had.
So you're saying that the way the story is being presented by the media is a false narrative?
Yes, and actually Soros has given almost $100 million to net neutrality, and it's not really net neutrality. Like, when Obama...
Okay, so all the headlines are then deceptive. Every headline on the IP story from the other night says, Congress just voted to let internet providers sell your browsing history. That comes from TechCrunch.com. Congressional Republicans just voted to let ISP sell your browsing history to advertisers. That comes from Vox.com. GOP senators vote to repeal rules protecting your private internet browsing history. That comes to us from TheStranger.com. House Republicans just voted to let your internet provider sell your browsing history without your permission. Comes from Business Insider. Republicans just... See, I have all the headlines. Believe me, nobody does more homework than I do for a topic when I really get into it. In the days I'm into topics, which is today, I'm not talking about death, dying, and the hereafter. I'm talking about living in the here and now. When I get into a topic like this in the here and now, I do my homework. I have all the headlines. So I believe what you're saying is they're all wrong.
Yeah, pretty much, honestly. I mean, Soros is getting...
Are you a tech person, Sam?
No, but if you... There was an interview that this one Republican gave to Breitbart, and InfoWars has a really good article on it as well. What they're doing is it's not really net neutrality. We all want net neutrality, but it's not really that. I mean, the FCC was calling for regulating Drudge Report. You know that's not, they're going to try to shut them down using it that way. They're giving the FCC...
Yeah, but this is different because this is a different story than closing down talk radio or the Drudge Report or other sites. You know, someone just emailed and says they've been throwing prayer out in public schools in America for decades. How can they now institute Muslim religious education in public schools? What do you think about that topic, Sam?
Yeah, that's crazy. I've seen that. And it was literally this one, the guy, if you saw Tucker Carlson last night, he was from the Christian Action Network. He was saying how one of the videos was...
I don't watch that show because I think the bow tie is a phony, but nevertheless, that's my opinion. The bow tie was always a moderate middle of the road, and now all of a sudden he's pretending to be a flaming, you know, I wish him luck, but I don't know why he's getting so much attention. He's not doing anything that's so unique right now. Okay, but put that aside. The Christian Action Network is 100% right. They are opposing the indoctrination of Islam in our schools, and I agree with them 1,000%, Sam. I'm sending you Trump's war for your reading, entertainment, and education. Now let's go to WABC, New York City, Line 6. Tom, go ahead. What's your topic?
Yes. God bless you, Michael, for all you say and do. And a fine...
Achoo. I think I'll sneeze after that because you blessed me already.
Okay. Anyhow, Michael, I worked about 20 years in a Pennsylvania state hospital system, and I'd say about 8 out of 10 boys that I had their spirit broken. They were timid and feared the girls. Now, these boys didn't have any identity because of the chemical restraints like Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
These kids, and it literally robbed them of their God-given identity. I mean, it's pathetic.
Oh, this is such a big topic. And it's a concern of mine going back decades. Tom, when I was in the area of nutrition, health, alternative medicine, I wrote a book called Healing Children Naturally in 1983, by the way. And the opening chapter or paragraph is about boys and the medication of boys and how they were destroying our boys and how it was a war against boys by the feminists in cahoots with the pharmaceutical industry to destroy our masculine, the whole masculine element in American society. So you were in the end line. You were in the mental hospital where boys were sent?
Front line.
No, I'm trying to understand. You worked in the hospital doing what?
I was a psychiatric aide. I took care of their mental as well as their physical needs.
But Tom, was it boys or men or both?
Well, we had men's wards and girls' wards, but then we had our mixed wards too. And it was sad to see. I mean, a girl would walk by a boy and go to scratch her ear, and the kids would cower. The boys.
It sounds like most marriages in Manhattan after a certain number of years. You look at the divorces and you see the makeup and the nails on these women. I mean, even if the guy's worth $12 billion, no wonder these hedge fund guys are jumping out of windows when a divorce comes up.
Amen.
All right, I'm just joking. It's not funny. It's dark humor. I get it. But why do you think that the boy bristled when a girl walked by and scratched her ear? What was he afraid of?
I don't know. Like I say, I think the chemical restraint literally robbed them of their psyche. It scared them. They were under control. They took away their identity. I mean, they were still boys, but you couldn't tell it to talk to them.
Well, I guess they're all working for ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN, and certainly MSNBC now. I mean, you would think that's who they are. They've gotten great jobs now.
Well, it's true, unfortunately.
All right, Tom, you've seen these guys. Did any of them ever come back from this hell? Did any of them ever get released?
Well, yes and no. Some would. Some would get out of it. And if you got a good doctor to deal with them, the doctor realized that the Ritalin was keeping them back, holding them down.
And Ritalin was one of the first generation of pharmaceutical straitjacket drugs.
Yes, sir.
The drugs today are far more powerful than Ritalin, incidentally.
Oh, I'd be terrified to take care of these guys today.
Hmm. What happens when kids use a high amount of marijuana? What did it do to them?
Well, I think it taints their thinking, number one. You never see a kid smoking dope. It's no good. I think it takes away part of their manhood too. It makes them, well, makes them weak.
But isn't that the object of George Soros's millions of dollars that he started spending over 20 years ago pushing medical marijuana? Isn't that what Georgie wanted? A mentally weakened population?
Sure.
Oh, of course. How come I see all these things?
And I'll bet Mike...
I mean, I read that God sees the truth but waits. But I'm Michael Savage. I see the truth and I don't wait.
Well, you can't. You're a prominent person. You see things that most people see but just pass them off.
Yeah, that's well put. You sound like a guy who knows what's going on. Where do you live in New York? I'm not looking for the address. Do you live in like a Manhattan thing or in a borough?
No, I'm a Pennsylvania boy, Michael.
Where? We're out in the country?
Well, right now I am. Where I worked in the hospital was down in eastern Pennsylvania, probably closer to Philadelphia.
Amazing. Well, it's a tough world that you inhabited as a person who took care of sick people. It has to have an effect on you. Doesn't it affect your mind? I'm thinking about that. I remember Freud wrote that, I think it was, no, it could have been Jung who wrote that a psychiatrist is like a clean river, a clean stream, and that he encounters the dirty psychological, the dirty consciousness of his patients, and eventually the clean stream is polluted by the filth in the streams of consciousness that he's healing.
True. Well, overall...
And that, by the way, it's a very sad statement because there's a high degree of suicide in the mental health professions, incidentally, Tom.
Absolutely. Well, you got to love people, Michael. That's the first basic point. And
no, you sound like a guy with a great heart, I'll tell you that. I don't hear it in your voice. All right. No, you're a nice guy. So all I can do... I tell you what, I'm going to send you Teddy and Me instead of Trump's War. I'll give you a kinder book, a gentler book. Stay on the line. We'll send you Teddy and Me. I knew when I did that book a few years ago. The publisher wanted me to do it. I knew Teddy was getting old, you know. So, okay, there we go again. Now, I knew I'd slip back eventually. I'm not doing it. I'm not going back to death and dying. Nope. I'm not going there. I'll be right back with some happy news on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Dr. Michael Savage here. Many people don't know that after age 40, your protein needs double. Well, you think about it. Why don't you get the same results you used to when exercising? This is because your body doesn't use protein as it used to. That's why you need more protein to support your muscle and bone health. I used to be the director of nutrition for one of the largest health food chains in the nation, and I've seen the protein powder options out there. The one I trust is Protein 40. It's made by the same folks who created Super Beats, which you know I love. Protein 40 tastes great, has a delicious chocolate flavor with no chalky aftertaste. And people are saying they're feeling stronger and more vitalized. Call now to get your free canister of Protein 40 included with your first order. Plus, you get the free guide written by world-renowned protein expert Dr. John Ivey about your critical protein needs as you age. So please call 1-800-646-8620. That's 800-646-8620. Or visit SavageProtein.com. That's SavageProtein.com.
I wonder
who
will write the book out loud.
This is sung not for the five owls.
Tell me,
and they're not saying hoot, they're saying hoot. Who did write the book of love? I was reading an English nobleman known as Philip Stanhope, the fourth Earl of Chesterfield, and he wrote an interesting line, old Stanhope did. He wrote it about sex, and he said, sex, the pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. God. Well, he was English, of course. I don't know what he looked like. I thought it's funny. I wanted to share it with you out there. The pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. Philip Stanhope, 4th Earl of Chesterfield. Not of cigarette fame, but of a certain area of England. 4th Earl of Chesterfield. Well, anyway, go figure. Go figure what people think about things such as sex. what we think about the internet, the Catholic Church, what we think about Trump or the Democrats selling your private info, what we think about the war against boys, and all these other topics, the indoctrination in our schools against masculine behavior, against Christianity, the promotion of Islam in public schools while prayer has been kicked out by the atheists. Think about all of these things, because I have my whole life. And I've condensed them all in one place for you. My last political book, Get It While You Can, it's in the front of all stores. Number one, New York Times bestseller last week, Trump's War, His Battle for America, by yours truly, Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's a fun change to go from Dean Martin to Chinese music of this kind. I don't know why I'm doing it. Because there's anything but death and the grave. Welcome to the... anything but death and dying today. I mean, around birthdays. Yesterday was some bummer, that show. But a lot of people said it's your best show yet. Go figure that out. I had people send me emails. I go, you know, we really loved that deep show yesterday where you talked about dying and the hereafter. I said, okay, I'm glad to hear it. I must have lost half my audience with that segment, which went on for hours. But, okay, so today I wake up, I feel better. What can I do? I'm a human being. We're all flexible. We're all flexible. If we're not, what are we? We're just rigid, conformist, predictable, boring, straight-liners. I guess there's a place for people like that. I feed a lot of old bread to birds off San Francisco Bay. I eat a lot of bread. I love gluten. I embrace gluten. I'm a gluten eater. My mother loved gluten, 88. She loved bread. She's a bread lover. So, I mean, I love bread. It just does something for me. I like pasta. I like anything, any high carbs. I love them. Particularly when I want to relax. If I don't have carbs, I don't eat. It used to be a joke. You'd go to Chinese food, and the joke was you came away hungry. Because why? There were virtually no carbs. It's why it's a pretty healthy diet. You know, especially if you ate brown rice or no rice at all. But unless I had a piece of bread with a meal, I didn't eat. So I eat a lot of bread. So a lot of it's, the next day I throw it to the birds. I break it up and throw it to them. I love to watch seagulls, the most humble bird you would imagine in the world. Have you ever seen them caterwaul for a piece of bread when 3, 4, 5 of them come after a couple of pieces of bread? How they can turn. I'm sure that in the Air Force, as sure as I'm standing here, they probably still teach pilots, fighter pilots, how to fly by showing them how birds will caterwaul on a dime. I mean, just spin. It's amazing to watch them. I watch the tail feathers flaring down, I think, of an F-15. Maybe they don't anymore. I don't really know. I know that in World War II, when I was studying that, the best fighter pilots were farm boys who were hunters. And they had to teach all the other boys who had never shot a gun before how you had to lead a target, meaning shoot in front of it, because the target was moving, and so unless you shot in front of it, you were going to be shooting behind the target by the time the bullet, you know, came near it. But the boys who were hunters from America's wooded areas, who went into the Air Force, who became fighter pilots, were the best killers of the enemy planes. Can you imagine that? When I say things like that, killers of enemy planes, can you imagine the feminists who are listening right now, the ones who have narcotized, medicated, feminized our boys? Even saying that, what it does to them. All right, let's take some calls. Yes, siri, Bob. Hillary on KSFO line 4. What's on your mind, Hillary?
Michael, you're the ultimate sexual libertarian and medical and religious libertarian.
Did you say it's a religious vegetarian?
No. Libertarian.
So you're calling me a sexual, political, medical, religious libertarian. Why are you doing that?
Because you're the only man in my life who can talk about men wanting to fight, and I don't feel discriminated against. I feel empowered. And then also as a mother, not putting my children on Ritalin or anything else for that matter after reading.
You have to fight the school people, the devils who want to put your children on drugs. Fight them, resist them at all turns.
At all turns. It's disturbing. And
so let me tell you a little story without getting specific. When I was younger and had a school-age boy, I think they, I don't know what they did, but once someone suggested medication for something, he was such a boy, he is, God bless him, I went and I said, let me ask you something, do you have a medical degree? Well, they said, no, I said, do you have a medical degree? Well, no. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sue you for practicing medicine without a license, unless you shut your fat mouth. Why don't you take those drugs and shove them you know where? They never ever did it again. These people are out of control. They have no such authority, by the way. Moreover, these drugs are deadly, absolutely deadly. They are chemical straitjackets, according to every psychiatrist who I trust. I don't care about the drug peddlers out there. I don't care about the drug peddlers with medical degrees. Drugs like that are chemical straitjackets, particularly for our boys.
Great.
Okay, so what else did you like that I did today?
I love how you can also be a religious libertarian, and that is so helpful for me living in Marin County because...
I'm sorry, I missed it. How I do what? Say it again.
You're a religious libertarian as well.
Oh, a religious libertarian.
Yes, because you are the only person to talk about Islam but not say it's the worst thing ever. I love how you can compare the history.
Well, it's true. I mean, if you want to teach about the history of Islam, teach about it, but don't indoctrinate our children by putting on a dirty nightshirt and having them bow down to Mecca.
Wait, and I think that goes back to you being a sexual libertarian because you're the only person I've ever heard say who's going to push homosexuals off, I don't think you said this, off the edge of a building, but I didn't realize that that's what Islam was teaching. I thought Islam was all inclusive.
Well, they do. It's absolutely done in, if I made it up, I would be a liar. In Iran, they take homosexuals and they hang them from hooks on cranes. Ask anyone from Iran what goes on there and what they do to homosexuals in the Muslim world. And the brainwashing in this country is so overwhelming, it's hard to believe how so many gay people cannot understand the danger they put themselves in by turning a blind eye to the realities of what they're talking about.
Right.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore. You know, I want to calm it all down for me and everyone else. I'm so glad that I bring something to your life that you need and sufficient for you to take time out of your day to listen to this show. Because I know you have a lot of choices, you have a lot of places you could be. You don't have to listen to the show. In the middle of all of the blizzard of things out there, you tune in for this show. That's quite a compliment. Thank you for the call. Stay on. Oh, please send her a book, Trump's War, if she's still there. Why not? Kim Jong-un threatens to nuke U.S. after McCain calls him fat. Play the Chinese music again. I wish I had Korean music, but I don't. Is there Korean music? It has to be. I don't mean to be insulting. I have some good Korean friends, but... North Korea is threatening to go nuclear. Oh, what is this, like a Broadway tune from Pyongyang? Oh, this is the communists. Oh, they copied this from the Soviets. They don't know anything up there. They're still stuck in the 1950s. The rigid battle, this is like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is stuck in the 1950s, him in a soapbox on Union Square. North Korea is threatening to go nuclear with Senator John McCain's description of the repressive regime's leader, Kim Jong-un, as a crazy fat kid. They said it's a declaration of war. Okay, great. That's terrific. McCain referred to the roly-poly tyrant when he said China should do more to rein in North Korea's bad behavior. I guess McCain's listening to the Savage Nation, because I've told you for years that North Korea wouldn't bark unless their master in China provoked them with a stick. They're the junkyard dog of China. So you gotta go back to a big political story. How is it that the great liberals who are so obsessed with Russia, 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 I mean, if you were to stop Charles Schumer in the street, you could probably look at him, he would say Russia. If he sleeps in the middle of Russia, 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 waking up saying Russia, 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 Larry David, Russia, 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 Russia. A few years ago, they were all extolling Russia. Then Obama wanted them to turn on Russia. Hillary Clinton came up with a campaign slogan about Russia. Russia, 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 all Russia. But they say nothing about North Korea, which is threatening us. North Korea threatens us almost every day. They say nothing about it. Why? Liberalism is a mental disorder. That answers everything. But for years I've been saying to you that China is the master of North Korea, and they use North Korea to threaten us whenever China wants to send a message to us. They have North Korea rattle their saber. So what is it that China wants Trump to hear? Now, remember, a huge delegation of the Chinese leadership is coming to Mar-a-Lago in a very short period of time. I think 200 of the leaders of China will be hosted at Mar-a-Lago in the very near future. I believe I read that somewhere. And there are going to be some heavy negotiations. And we heard that Trump's campaign was all about they're out-trading us, they're manipulating their currency. In other words, he was repeating everything that he heard on talk radio for years, right? Well, now they're coming, and I want to see what happens. Will he tell them to stop manipulating their currency? Will he tell them he's going to impose a tariff on Chinese goods, as he promised during the campaign? I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. So I think those two issues are why North Korea is now barking in the junkyard of their nation. That icy junkyard where people are eating scraps of food, if they eat anything at all. You know, you people who don't know the difference between communism and the other economic systems, all you got to do is look at the Koreas, the two Koreas. There's North Korea, a repressive nightmare of a communist dictatorship where the people are almost starving to death. They have no freedoms. They're killed for no reason whatsoever. Whatever this maniac wants to do to them, he does. There is no opposition. There's no vote. There's nothing. Zero freedom. And then you go south of the border. I think it's the 49th parallel, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. And you have a booming South Korea, naked capitalism. They're the ones who produce largely our televisions. Their cars are amazing, right? How is it that capitalism, which is so evil, Bernie Sanders, can produce great cars, great televisions, great electronics, so much freedom and happiness in one nation, while your vision of a socialist heaven produces less than the turds that an elephant drops in a zoo? How is that possible, all you stupid people out there, who you don't know the difference between what you're talking about? Nothing. You know nothing about what you're talking about. Nothing. Nothing. You yap, 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 and you don't even have any idea what you're saying. Moreover, if you love it so much, why don't just move to Cuba? See how they'll treat you over there. Another great nation that Bernie Sanders would really fit in well with down there. You know, you hear them, oh, they're all socialists, 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 socialists. Or they proudly say, some of the idiots, I'm proud socialist. Well, why don't they go live in a socialist country? See how proud they are. See what kind of tenure they get over there. See if the man whose feet don't touch the ground over there at Berkeley, whatever his name is, used to be the labor secretary for the Third Reich, I mean for Bill Clinton. How come he always extols communism and socialism? Why? Because he lives on tenure and he does nothing. Probably knocks down $200,000 a year plus free travel, free housing probably, whatever else you can get the extra meatball, him and the old lady, out of the university system. Whatever he can glum. Whatever he can glum, teaches nothing, espouses hatreds on television every other day. Every other day, espousing hatred for the United States of America. And whose show is he mainly on? There's only one outlet for all of these cranks. All the left-wing cranks wind up on Macho Red Cow show. All right, whatever. You know, the show's going to come to an end. The lights go off. The Klieg lights go off in the studio. The ISDN unit goes off. The lights go out. The limelight is turned off. And I walk away into the darkness of the afternoon and the evening. And so do you. I mean, maybe you listen to other shows. God bless you. You have a lot of time on your hands if you do, but are we really making a difference? Are we really changing anything? I gave it my all to make Trump known and to push him over the finish line. Let's put it to you that way. And now I don't know right now what he's doing. He attacks the Freedom Caucus, saying he wants to join the Democrats in destroying anyone who voted against the health care reform bill. which I think is one of the most disastrous policy mistakes he could ever make. How could he attack the Freedom Caucus so openly instead of saying, I disagree with them and I have to work with them and I have to explain to them why a compromise is important? Why did he go on the assault? Why must he attack the people he disagrees with, even amongst the conservative movement now? This is very worrisome. And I think that the roads lead all the way back to the inner circle and what's going on in there, because the inner circle is changing very rapidly. And I think that in the next hours or days, you're going to see a purge of the last vestiges of the true hardcore conservatives inside that inner circle, and the ascension of the Manhattan liberalism that we were all fearing would rise to the surface. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, here we are talking about the CIA, the NSA, and top intelligence agencies. All of our sensitive secrets can be hacked. We now know that safety and privacy of our finances are over. I mean, how safe and private do you think your finances are sitting in the cyber world? Who hacked them? How about your stock accounts, your saving accounts, even your 401ks? Frankly, that's why I turned to Swiss America for answers about protecting the savage household finances and privacy. One book explained it all. Don't bank on it. And for a limited time, the first 500 callers can get a free copy. Only 500 of you are going to get it. What timing this is. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. It's a free book on exactly the topic we're talking about. And you'll learn how to protect your money against what even the CIA cannot protect. Please do it now. It's free. It's a book. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. For a free copy of the book, don't bank on it. I'm sleeping better than ever because a great night's sleep can help you have a great day, and I'm having great days and great nights. You know why? Because of my Casper mattress. You see, Casper was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all the support you need. It guarantees to give you the best night's sleep ever. It ships for free in a box so small, you're not going to believe it holds a mattress. And I love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home risk-free. They'll come pick it up if you don't love it and refund you everything. That's unbeatable. Actually, sleeping on a mattress beats trying one in a store for just a few minutes, believe me. From its breakthrough design to its packaging, to letting you try it for 100 nights, it's no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. Do what I did. Get a Casper and get a great night's sleep every night. Go to Casper.com, code Nation, for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, code Nation, and you get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, code Nation. Terms and conditions apply. Let me invite you to turn on your internet and go to michaelsavage.com, and you will see, of course, you're going to see my book is number one on the New York Times list for week one, and I strongly advise you to go to a bookstore and at least browse it. If you browse it and you don't like what's in there, you're not going to buy it, but if you browse it, you're going to buy it, because right now we need it more than ever. It's a battle, and we have a battle not only against the libs and the rhinos, but within the confines of the White House itself, man, because his war is our war, is it? Not? Isn't he our representative? Think about it. He is our supra-representative. For those of us in America, such as I who live in San Francisco, have no congressman. I have no senator in this state. But I have a president. So if he is my representative, I need to speak with him. I'm one of the few who got a chance to sit down with him. Of the 6 or 7 billion people on the planet, everyone wants to meet Donald Trump, don't they? Friend and foe alike. Well, I'm one of the billions. And I got that honor to sit with him. And I said to you, he's just what he looks like in person. He's straightforward. He's got a great sense of humor. However, like anyone else, he's subject to influence. And my battle plan for victory in Trump's war was sent to him after I met with him. Signed copy. I'm sure he's gotten it by now. Maybe he hasn't read it yet. He's got to understand that we do know what we want. And that the patriots who elected him want our country back. And we don't want to be rolled by the system. The problem is the system's so powerful that no one can change it. Is that the sad truth, that no matter who gets elected, nothing can change it? I hope that's not the case. I certainly hope that we can change the system, because the system isn't working for us. And while everyone else was talking about the election, I, Michael Savage, was looking ahead, and I was writing Trump's war in order to keep him on track and to keep us on track, and in order to keep his feet in the fire, by the way. Not to put his feet on fire, but to keep the heat up. That's my job. Yes, maybe I will never get that invitation to the White House for that dinner. Yes, I may never sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. But so what? So what? I'd love to. I sure would love to. But our battle for America is more important than my comfort.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What I'm about to read to you are a list of things that were done by two presidents. And I'm going to ask you, who did them, Ronald Reagan or Barry Obama? Who did the following, Reagan or Obama? Nominated and appointed Eric Holder as judge. Doubled California state spending. Record California tax hike. Passed California abortion rights. Promised to abolish the Department of Education, but didn't. Promised to abolish the Department of Energy, but didn't. Doubled unconstitutional farm programs. Doubled unconstitutional Medicare. Passed unconstitutional drought relief. Doubled unconstitutional foreign aid. Didn't abolish one single unconstitutional federal agency, department, or program. Supported the unconstitutional Brady Bill. Who was this, Reagan or Obama? Who passed a bill forcing hospitals to treat illegal aliens in California? Who passed the unconstitutional war on drugs? Who increased government, tripling the national debt? Who raised the national debt from $930 billion to $2.6 trillion? Who passed a 5 cent per gallon gasoline tax? Who passed an FHA reverse mortgage bill? Was it Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama? Will Donald Trump become another Reagan or another Schwarzenegger or, worse yet, another Obama? When I see all these Democrats going into high places in the inner circle, I say, uh-oh, here we have it again, here we go again, there we go again. Remember when Schwarzenegger came to power, how great we thought it would be? And then we woke up and found out that he hired Jerry Brown's chief of staff to run his California state government, and the next thing we knew, Schwarzenegger had morphed into a leftist creature. Do you remember that? Are you hearing me? Does anyone out there hear me? It's not what you see, it's what you get that matters, which is why I, Michael Savage, wrote Trump's War, to make sure you know what it is you voted for, and to try our best, and my best, and your best, to make sure that the president understands that we're not all dummies, and we know what we voted for. Look, it could come down that it's a Schwarzenegger, you know, redo here. That it started out as a muscled Republican conservative. The next thing we knew, the radical left invaded the inner circle, and that was the end of it. And Schwarzenegger became a patsy, that's all. An empty suit. A steroid-driven empty suit. It looked like a muscle man, but was really a bowl of Jell-O inside. I hope not. I hope not. I suspect that there's going to be a huge turnaround inside the Trump camp, as we're seeing right now, that's ongoing. There are going to be people fired. There was one today. There may be some big ones tomorrow. And I believe that he will be moving to the left. When I see that his lovely, intelligent daughter has been moved into the White House, and she does come from a liberal background, and there's no point in mincing words. Everyone knows the truth about this. The son-in-law, these were big New York liberals. They probably still are. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but they don't agree with my politics, nor I with them. Now, they're going to move the president toward the left. They're going to try and soften him. They're going to try and make him more malleable. And as a result, he's going to alienate the core base. For example, he just attacked the Freedom Caucus last night. He tweeted against them today. Isn't that correct, Robert? Now, how could you attack a core group that supported you when you're running for office? How is that even possible? You can't do that. It's a mistake to do that. You can't go after the people who put you in power soon after you become the president without losing a core supporter group. How are you going to run again? Does he care about running again? I don't know. I'm not inside his head. Who's advising him to attack the Freedom Caucus? Who's advising him to let internet providers sell our private data? Well, these are emerging questions for which I don't have the answer. But I hope that when this tape or a transcript of this particular tape of mine gets to Mr. President, if it does, and I don't know how much of this ever gets to him. I suspect some of it does. I've been told it does. He understands that without constructive critics like Michael Savage, someone who's been loyal to him from the get-go, things are not going to look very good for him as the years emerge. He cannot continue to just appeal to the Democrats and hope to retain a large loyal following. It won't happen because Democrats will never, ever support him. They'll only use him so far as they need him to advance their own agenda, okay? So that's that. I hope that he understands that I would like another dose of ice cream and chocolate syrup at some time in the future. And if not, it's not. I don't eat ice cream and syrup anyway. Here's another couple of stories if you're not agitated enough. After letting kids get sex change surgery at 15, Oregon Rad Dems try to raise smoking age to 21. Can you believe how sick they are? Do you know how sick the radical Dems really are? Here's another one. So-called Catholic University hosts radical communist Angela Davis as distinguished lecturer. Now, she was there when they killed guards at San Quentin. She is one of the most evil people on the planet, in my estimation. She should have been given a death sentence for what she did. Marquette Catholic University hosts radical communist Angela Davis as distinguished lecturer. Now, you have to understand that Jesuit schools are not the same as Catholic schools. Jesuit schools are some of the most radical indoctrination centers in the country. They push progressive views of social justice as unimpeachable Catholic doctrine when it's not. Catholic doctrine is not that of the Jesuits. The Jesuits have always been far left, almost communistic, if not outright communist. Look at Jerry Brown, a Jesuit. When they push their view of Catholicism, and they bring a woman like Angela Davis, who was known for her career with the Black Panther Party and Communist Party, a woman who proclaims to this day that capitalism is the most dangerous kind of future we can imagine. When a woman like this who tells the LA Times that as long as we inhabit a capitalist democracy, a future of racial equality, gender inequality, economic equality will elude us, she is one of the most notoriously dangerous women on the planet. She landed on the FBI's 10 most wanted list in 1970 for running away from police after she was charged with purchasing the murder weapon that was used in a courtroom in San Rafael, California in 1970. At the Women's March in January, this radical, this dangerous woman, Angela Davis, called on activists to become more militant. She said those who still defend the supremacy of white male hetero patriarchy had better watch out. She is a terrorist. And yet Marquette University is touting her as a living witness to history. And this anti-capitalist liar is earning between $10,000 and $20,000 for screeching against capitalism. Do you understand the hypocrisy and the lies of the left and how dangerous they truly are? No matter how old they get, they're still dangerous. To the last dying breath that they breathe on this planet, they would like to, let us say, destroy heterosexual white Christian males. And that brings us back to the first topic of the day, the war on boys that is being conducted by evil people like this woman. Radical feminists have almost destroyed the West. It is the radical feminists who went after the white heterosexual Christian male from the get-go for reasons you can well understand. Once you understand who radical feminists really are, you'll understand why they are the gravest threat to the survival of the West. And what's even more ironic and psychotic, ironic and psychotic, by the way, I'll mute the two words together in a moment. If you merge ironic and psychotic together, what do you get? Well, you get Angela Davis or Mad Cow. But that's not a joke. They are the ones who conducted a war against masculinity in men and are now conducting a war against young boys on an almost institutional basis. They took over the schools, took over the universities. They're running the media behind the scenes. And now we see that they want to do the final thing in their war on boys. Got a lot of calls on this issue of the war against boys being conducted by the radical feminists who have infected and invaded every aspect of our society. They hate men. They hate straight men in particular. They have a war against boys. It's destroying the society. I need to go to the conclusion that the greatest thinker on this subject, Christina Hoff Sommers, comes to this conclusion in clip number 8. Listen.
As our schools become more feeling-centered, more competition-free, more sedentary, they move further away from the needs of boys. We need to reverse the boy-averse trends. Male underachievement is everyone's concern. These are our sons. These are the young men with whom our daughters will build a future. If boys are in trouble, so are we all.
Right. And if Tom Sawyer were alive, he would be declared a racist and a homophobe and probably be put into an institution. What's going on today is sick. It is so sick, the only thing we can do is fight it by exposing it. We have to inspire boys. We have to inspire males. We have to make men proud again to be men. And we have to, most of all, not be afraid of these intimidating monsters, the mean-faced, clipped-haired monstrosities that stand up everywhere and shout you down if you dare stand up for yourself and your boy. Don't let them do it. They're no better than you are. Your opinion counts, too. Here's good news, anyway. I read this morning that stylish dogs are ruling the catwalks of Shanghai streets. And that young Chinese in Shanghai, are showing off their pet dogs, dressing them up in eye-catching outfits. Pet owners like to dress up their pets the way they would their own children, said a woman surnamed Huang, as she walked her two fluffy brown poodles, one with a pink bow tie and the other wearing a blue one, through a central Shanghai neighborhood. Or rather, they walked her riding in a baby stroller as Huang pushed. And his big business in China. So I said, this is the best news I've heard yet. Because it means communism is dead in China. The only place it lives is amongst progressives and Bernie Sanders' ear in America. Communism is dead in China. Except a very small number of old-line people love communism. But this shows definitively that the Chinese are so great. $17 billion a year in pet clothing last year. Millennials are becoming the main customers with their consumer power growing. This is fabulous. Zhang Wen, a psychologist at Shanghai's Wada Institute of Applied Psychology, said that for many Chinese, pet ownership is, quote, a kind of escape from interpersonal relationships. That's true. It said the pet becomes a projection of the opposite sex for some people who do not find a partner. Well, you could add something to that. I see a lot of big men in America. I mean big guys with little dogs. It used to be big guys had big dogs. Now big guys have little dogs. And it's the little guys who have the big dogs, which is very interesting to me. Why is it that the vermin in the streets called progressives, the rats who hide behind masks at riots, if they have dogs at all, they're usually pit bulls with chains around their necks. Have you figured that one out? Well, think about it. Anyway, this is very good news that stylish dogs are ruling the catwalks of Shanghai streets. It means communism is dead amongst the millennials. This is a great story. It tells us something. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Dr. Michael Savage back. Look, many of you don't know this, but I used to be the director of nutrition for one of the largest health food chains in the country. And I found this product, Super Beets, and it's really one of the most impressive natural functional foods I've seen in my career. And it has to do with blood flow. Beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, which convert into nitric oxide in the body. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates to specifically help with blood flow and circulation. Super Beets works 3 times faster to give you results you can feel. It tastes great. I use Super Beets. I use it every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. Call 800-481-0504. That's 800-481-0504. Or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. You're going to get a 30-day supply for free. It comes with your first order. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. You're also going to get a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results that you feel with your first free canister, guaranteed, or your money back. It's another time. Boys emulated men. The singers were all men. And boys wanted to be like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. And boys wanted to be soldiers. They wanted to be cops. They wanted to be outdoors. They wanted to be tough. They wanted to be able to defend themselves. And we wake up, and all of a sudden, every one of these true values are being attacked by the psychotics who run the schools, run the media. Take a look at the men in the media. Now look at them. By and large, look at the image they project. Is that an image that you think is reflective of most men on the planet? Are they therefore superior to most men on the planet because they portray a different side of masculinity, if you want to even go there? What is the norm in men's behavior? What should it? I didn't say become a Neanderthal and beat people up. I didn't say that. But we need men who can beat people up. Make no mistake about it. We need a lot of men who can beat people up to save this nation. Make no mistake about it. Without men who can beat people up, you wouldn't even be here. There'd be no country. From the beginning, there'd be no country. So when you conduct a war against boys, what you're doing is conducting a war against survival. Straight up, that's it. Now, that leads to another story, which, by the way, ties into the war against Trump. If you were to dissect what the war against Trump really is, the psychosis and the hatred, you'll see it comes from a very small minority within even the Democrat community, within even the liberal community. The fanatics are, by and large, the same fanatics who have a war against boys, a war against Christians, a war against America. They are the hardcore left-wing fanatics who control the blogs, who control the media, who control the messaging. Wherever you turn, there they are. They're the ones writing it. They're the ones projecting it. Now, that ties into another story. I don't know if it's that important to you, but I saw the other day that the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel are protesting against Israeli military service in Israel. I said, wow, this is a great story. Here are Jews in Israel, a certain sect of Jews, the ones with the curls and the black hats, and they're a different sect than the Lubavitch. They're a sect that doesn't even believe Israel should exist. So they're screaming, it's better to be shot than to go in the army. One of them said with a long, dark beard, protest against military service, which is 2 years and 8 months for men and 2 years for women in Israel, is compulsory for most Jewish Israelis, but not for the ultra-Orthodox Jews, who represent now 10% of the Israeli population, and live in strict compliance with strict interpretation of Jewish laws. So why are they opposed to military service? What sense does that make? If it wasn't for the Israeli military, they would have been thrown into an oven. If it wasn't for the military in Israel, they wouldn't even exist. So this is another example of how when people become so fanatical in their beliefs, whether the beliefs be religious in nature or political in nature, they become crazy. They don't even think what they're doing. So the average Israeli hates them for this, to be very honest. Why should they be exempt, they say, to go study in religious schools? It's very controversial. But the rabbis who run them are very hostile to any cooperation with the Israeli authorities and refuse and are considered they oppose the Israeli authorities. Last month, there were major protests in ultra-Orthodox areas across Israel with more than 30 people arrested. Now, there's more to the story, because the ultra-Orthodox religious in Israel are not loved by most Israelis. Most Israelis, by the way, are very secular. They're not even religious, in case you don't know it. But when it comes to national defense in a nation that's surrounded by hostiles, why should religious Jews not be required to go into the military? Well, the answer is they're no longer exempt. A law was passed making them serve like everybody else, so they went crazy.
Savage.